Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick, back with Mika Villas and Danny Danger. No one is on assignment anymore, although we all have to deal with the shoot life. It is the work life here as we talk about pro wrestling on this Wednesday night. Could be Thursday or Friday before people hear the show, but alas, we're recording now. My friends, how are you?
Good. We're gearing up for, more wrestling coming our way, and we get to talk about the rules that were of varying levels of extreme and fallout from that, and it's G1 still going on. Like, we got cool stuff to talk about, man.
I mean, my gosh, we're back in the saddle, boys and girls. We're going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off, and there are no wheels, so y'all are in trouble. Let's talk wrestling, boys.
All right, so let's start with the rules of the extreme. And of course, extreme rules happen live on WWE Network at a new start time of 7 p.m. Eastern time. And so we got tons of matches, so we're not going to dissect every single match. But let's just talk about some of the things that may have impacted the landscape of the WWE, or just may have caught our attentions and whatnot. So on the pre-show, Andrade Cien Almas defeated Sin Cara, and Sanity defeated New Day in a tables match, a combined 15 minutes for both matches. First thing I want to say is Almas and Cara, their SmackDown Live match was much better. And the six-man tables match, well, I think it was what it was. It's just basically Sanity getting put over. The New Day at this point is just there to put other teams over. Because they could see the championships in the future, but they're at an elite level where they're like, kind of like the John Cena, not necessarily John Cena tag teams, but their status is like, well, okay, they don't need the titles. They're always going to be seen as top people because of their popularity.
Yeah. They're still going to sell piles and piles of shirts with pictures of pancakes on them and, things like that. They're still going to sell a bunch of merch. People are still going to love them. People are still going to see them as a credible threat because they did so well as a tag team, and they're all accomplished singles guys. Them losing to the up and coming guys, especially if there's kind of, if it's not exactly straight and narrow, clean 1-2-3 wins, like they're not going to be hurt. It's not going to hurt the profile of the New Day to lose here and there to people.
Just like when the New Day were the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions, they don't need the belts. They don't need the wins. Theirs is more entertainment than wrestling at this point because of all the shenanigans they do outside of the bell ringing, and I guess even inside the bell ringing. So this is, again, like you guys pointed out, for Sanity, because the WWE universe does not know, for the most part, who these individuals are coming up from NXT. So put them in there with your top baby faces and let them be monster heels. Let them do their chaotic whatever, and have the announcers kind of guide you through who the individuals are quickly. That is what that is, just establishing chaos, the chaos that is Sanity for the WWE universe.
Well, we do open the main show of Extreme Rules with the Raw Tag Team Championships, and here we see the B Team defeat Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt to become the new tag team champions.
Yeah, I that was not on my pick. I definitely did not see them winning the belts there.
I think that is a upset or a shocker. It was. Again, you have individuals, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, who had this feud, and they're more singles competitors. Well, now they are. Matt teams with his brother usually. So while the Leader of Worlds was a good concept for a tag team, wrestling for WWE. They just didn't seem to pick up a whole lot of speed and momentum, and there's not a whole lot you can do with them individually. I mean, together, but individually, you can branch them out to other, you know, other feuds or what have you. And Bray coming out of a car wreck, that is, you know, probably a little bit more banged up than they want one of their champions to be. Maybe he needs to relax a little bit, doctor's orders. So putting it on Axel and Bo Dallas is a good story for them. They go from, you know, being scrubs to champions.
I mean, last thing we want is a bunch of scrubs, man. I don't want no scrubs.
Can't get no love from me.
Personally, yeah.
Nah, they can't get no love from me. No scrubs.
All right, so then we get Finn Balor defeating Baron Corbin in the singles match. Carmella defeats Asuka to retain the women's championship. Yes, I said Carmella defeats Asuka. This the way they did this with
shenanigans. That's what it was.
With Ellsworth being, you know, this the distracting factor by getting stuck upside down on the cage, getting beat out by Asuka, and then from behind, Carmella comes in and pushes, knocks Asuka into the cage so then she can do the quick roll-up and get the win.
Yeah, distraction roll-up. It's the WWE way.
Now, then, another thing I wasn't expecting to see.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect them to use that stupid shark cage again. But like I said, they probably have a warehouse full of those toys somewhere and they still got some they need to get rid of. So that's why they brought the damn shark cage back instead of just having him be barred from ringside. And then him still get to ringside, you know?
I don't even have words for how just awkward and weird this was. Him dropping stuff out of the shark cage, you know, for Carmella to use. Him hanging upside down. They've got him all harnessed up. And when I was looking at the cage, I'm like, why is it so low? What are they doing? You know?
Why is he in a harness inside the cage? It's a cage. Just stand in it. Okay? It's got a solid floor.
But the fact that the cage, like, you could have jumped up and touched the cage. It wasn't high off the ring from above the ladies and the refs hit. I was like, this is so weird. What are they doing? And so when they lowered in him hanging out, I went, oh my gosh, this is bad. I understand they want the chase. They want Carmella to be this heel champion and Asuka's so dominant. It would be hard to have anybody credibly beat her. But this was almost a step towards the bra and panties matches for me. I was just like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, the match itself wasn't exactly good, but it accomplished what they were trying to accomplish. Like you said, it's in theory, it's supposed to make you hate Carmella and then want to see Asuka whoop her butt and whoop the crap out of James Ellsworth. Like, that's all that it was meant to do, and it did that. It certainly did that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I thought that, okay, maybe Asuka can have the title and she'll get a good run for the rest of the year. But, you know, maybe if the plan is still to do Rousey Flair, then I thought that they would let Asuka do this. Instead, she's losing back-to-back matches to Carmella. I know that it's with shenanigans, so it should be fine, but I still don't think it's right, especially after the way that she was booked on NXT.
That's the difference between the main roster and NXT, yeah. All
right, so our next match, I hope people did not blink. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Jeff Hardy to become the new United States champion. I'm not sure if it was because Shinsuke was still recovering from the dog bite that they decided to give him an extra couple of days without having to wrestle.
What? No. Whoa. Paul, he got bit by a dog?
Yeah, you didn't hear this? He got bit by a drug sniffing dog at a house show.
At a house,
A police dog
bit Shinsuke Nakamura, like, apparently bad enough he had to get stitches or something, or what?
I don't remember, but they were concerns. Yes, I mean it was not pretty from what I hear.
Oh goodness, that's what you get for putting drugs in your pants. You know, I don't know.
No, it was the color red, and I could say something else weird and bad, but I won't. But
is it about him liking to hit people in the genitals has come back to get him? The dog tried to bite his dingus. He moved briefly out of the way, so it hit his leg instead. You know, a little, as the big Val Bogey would say, thanks to a little bit of shrinkage, there was no choppy choppy. You know, so maybe that's kind of the whole thing with it. I don't see why they haven't made that an angle. You would think it would be ripe for the picking.
You would think, one would hope that they would take that comedy goal and run with it, but apparently the only thing we know how to do is stomp balls. I mean, junk, and then we have a returning snake. It's funny that a snake would stomp a snake. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we didn't get any snakes. We did get a viper post-match here as Randy Orton attacked Jeff Hardy. Of course, he attacked him again on Tuesday on SmackDown Live, which, by the way, the rematch was on Tuesday. Shinsuke retained. He actually wrestled, so he's fine. But I thought it was simple, quick, to the point, give him the title. It was fine. I have no problems with it. Shinsuke, I like the heel Shinsuke. The whole playing off of he doesn't speak English, it's funny. He's got these special looks that play so well into being a heel. So I'm actually enjoying this heel Nakamura, and with the belt, I think is something fresh. While you're holding him, for some reason he did not get the championship already. And I think now with the U.S. title, he can do stuff until it's time to turn him back and make him a champ.
Okay, so Randy Orton's back now, and he's attacking Jeff Hardy, so that makes him a heel. Like, but at this point, it seems that Randy Orton's done more like flip-flops back and forth from face to heel and heel to face, like as many times as Big Show and Lex Luger. Like, he's getting to that level. Randy Orton kind of just, he'll go away for a little bit and then he'll come back as a heel. He'll go away for a little bit, he comes back as a face. Like, it's all, I mean, he doesn't really do things that differently, you know, like, but it just kind of depends on who he fights. I guess there always needs to be somebody filling that role, you know? So, you know, WWE likes that. He can't be trusted. He's the Viper. He hears voices because his theme music tells us so.
And the announcers, Michael Cole, will say he's going to the place.
Michael Cole will tell us that he hears voices because Michael Cole listens to the lyrics of his theme song.
perhaps a direct line into the brain of the Viper. We're not sure how that works.
He is the voice that Randy Orton's hearing. He just speaks in Spanish, and so it confuses Randy.
See, I took this a whole other way. One, I've forgotten that Randy was gone.
Was alive, yeah, he existed.
Two, it almost looked like 2005 Randy was like kind of baby face Randy. It's like, hey, what did he do? He looks different. He looks a little younger. I don't know. But three, I took it as, what did Jeff Hardy do to get stomped in the crotch back to back like that? I know that he has a recent arrest in his home state. I believe it was a traffic violation or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. I just know he was arrested. But who did he piss off? Who did he make so upset that they said, you know, Shin, here's the finish. Kick him in the balls. Low blow him. Go for it. Randy, here's your run in. Don't you RKO him. The crowd was calling for an RKO. They were excited. They were genuinely excited to see Randy. They wanted to see RKO. And not to be a dick, Randy just hit him in the dick. I'm like, what is going on? Jeff Hardy made somebody mad, and that's why he got his junk mistreated on a Sunday.
That's my take on it. I mean, if Randy Orton or if Jeff Hardy's learned anything in his career as a professional wrestler, he should be wearing a cup. If he learned anything from Shinsuke AJ Styles feud, he should be wearing a cup. Just saying.
Clearly, Jeff does not learn, and that is why they just, abused his poor area. I'm glad he already has kids because he may not be able to have them at this point. Thank you, Shane and Randy.
So moving on, Kevin Owens defeats Braun Strowman by escaping the cage. Of course, this was a cage match. Now, I say escaping the cage loosely because by escaping the cage, I mean Braun Strowman threw him from the top of the cage onto the announcer's table. So, technicality, Kevin Owens wins. But in reality, he lost.
He escaped life, which allows you to win the match, but you don't get to enjoy the victory celebration because you're dead. The spot itself looks pretty damn scary. Like, Braun just goes, "All right, time to go now. Woo!" And like he goes pretty far out, and then he smashes. And I was like, "Yeah, I definitely didn't expect to see that."
Yeah, it was crazy. Of course, we've seen that sort of thing happen many a times, right? That's the Shane O'Mac kind of gimmick where he's going to. So for two wrestlers to be involved in something like that, not including Shane McMahon, I think it might have to be 1998 and Undertaker versus Mankind at Hell in a Cell. So, 20-year anniversary, right?
Yeah, somebody mentioned that. They're like, well, it is about 20, just past 20 years since Mankind's big throw. I guess it's now time to throw another fat bearded guy off the top of a cage.
And homage to the originals. Yeah. And they were, weren't they in Philadelphia?
Yeah, they were in Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania. They were, same state.
It's crazy. I'm like, no, I hope he doesn't die. And I don't think he died because, they would have, mentioned it.
My condolences. We killed Kevin. I guess you guys didn't see it, but I saw a picture of the announce table. It was the safest announce table ever.
There like was before he went through it or after?
After he went through it. Of course the table was gimmicked. There was a huge, huge padding. That was the softest landing you can get from that kind of, stunt without your mom being there to swaddle you in her arms.
So it's like when Rikishi fell off the cell into the back of the pickup truck with a bunch of fucking sawdust in it and mattresses and stuff. Instead of like when Mankind got thrown off to the table and like they were legitimately scared for his life.
Yes, exactly. It was like the stage, when they get thrown off the stage, how they had that pad, that huge crash pad back there, and it's covered with equipment. Well, this is exactly the same kind of padding that they had built with the announce table around it. Of course, they don't use monitors and all that stuff anymore, so everything was, pretty light as far as any equipment that was there goes, so... It was a perfect landing on a perfect piece of material to make sure that he did not indeed die.
Yeah, that was definitely a gimmick table because by the end of the night, they had put together another table. So the commentary table was rebuilt back to his shape. So that tells me that they knew exactly everything. They had a plan. It was easy to disassemble and reassemble. Because usually when they destroy one, it's done. They have to deal with it the rest of the night. So the fact that they were able to, they took the time to put it back together or put a new table in there tells me that this table was just, an extra gimmicky table. But but so many things could go wrong when you're throwing somebody 20 plus feet up from the air. Especially somebody with the strength of Braun.
Yeah, he just kind of launched him with one hand and like, he kind of started to turn upside down. Like, it could have been really bad.
If he had thrown Sami Zayn, for example, Sami may have landed by the second row.
Yeah. Sami would have been back at the concession stands trying to get a drink.
He would have needed a beer because he really would have died.
Yeah, he would be like, "Olay!"
I'm in serious. Sweet.
I don't know how I got back here.
we go from Kevin Owens avoiding dying and going to hell to Team Hell No challenging the Bludgeon Brothers for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I said there were going to be shenanigans. I said that somehow Bludgeon Brothers were going to keep the titles. I said that maybe Team Hell No may win, but there were going to be shenanigans. And of course, shenanigans there were, because earlier in the night, the Bludgeon Brothers attacked Team Hell No. And of course, Kane had been severely injured, one of his ankles. So he ended up coming to the ring mid-match wearing a boot. And yeah, so Team Hell No tried to do their best. But a super uber beat up Daniel Bryan and a handicap Kane were not enough. And that allowed the Bludgeon Brothers to retain the tag team championships. To me, I feel like, okay, we know what we're doing with Daniel Bryan now, right? With The Miz doing the funeral ceremony for Team Hell No, and then Bryan coming out to attack Miz. We know that that's the big matchup. We've been waiting for that. Miz versus Daniel Bryan.
At SummerSlam would be my guess.
Most likely. Or the rest, they can fight the rest of the year. That'll be entertaining throughout the whole year.
From SummerSlam to Mania, yeah.
So now we just needed something to get through and give him a big pop, bring Kane back so Glenn Jacobs can get an extra payday so he can get some more money so he can continue to run for mayor. So now that they've got all that going on, I think this is a great way to give the Bludgeon Brothers a big win against a big name tag team as Team Hell No, a very popular tag team that anybody that didn't know any better would have thought that Team Hell No would have walked out tag team champions.
Yeah, sure. We all pretty much,
right.
We all guessed that, you know, hey, Team Hell No is going to run through the Bludgeon Brothers. You know, we're going to get another short run of them together. No, apparently not.
How dare they prove us wrong?
Yeah, dirty, dirty bastards.
All right, so next we get Bobby Lashley defeating Roman Reigns in a singles match. This one of the only three matches that went double digits in 14 minutes and 50 seconds. So they wrestled. Originally, these two men were going to be in a six-pack challenge to determine the number one contender for the Universal Championship. Then that was scrapped away. These guys fighting for no reason other than ego, and because they don't like each other. And now, next week, they're fighting again for the number one contendership for the Universal Championship. Why couldn't they have done that Extreme Rules?
Because we wouldn't be able to drag it out and wait until we get close enough to August to have Brock in a ring.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. You could have still held Lesnar until August, but why not make it a number one contendership on Extreme Rules instead of 2 weeks later?
Here's what's going to happen. Here's the booking, the thing that I saw that is a speculation that's going around. So it happened. It ends up being a triple threat match at SummerSlam. Okay, Bobby Lashley versus Roman versus Brock Lesnar. With Hulk Hogan as the special referee, and SummerSlam ends with Bobby Lashley winning, and Hulk Hogan there now raising the hand and celebrating with the first black Universal Champion to try to be like, look, Hulk Hogan's back, and he really doesn't hate black people. See, look, here's him with his black friend. He doesn't hate black people. And then they'll use Hulk Hogan more so going forward, and hopefully, you know, that kills the heat and also puts over Bobby Lashley and puts over WWE and their, you know, ethnic inclusivity and diversity and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there again, I don't understand why we keep seeing the same matches for titles when we could have, like Patrick said, done it to begin with. If we're going to do it, let's just do it to begin with. It makes no sense. I'm not invested in either one of these two. I don't care which one of them gets eaten by the beast, you know? It makes me no difference. I don't care if Brock keeps the title. I forgot all about the title. So this match was literally my sleeper match. I fell asleep and woke up and they were still fighting. I was like, oh, it's still nap time. Let me go back to sleep.
Yeah, this match, it was something. It was definitely quite something, and that's all I got to say about that. It wasn't a bad match. People crapped on Roman, so that, I think, plays a little bit against it. But the match, I thought it was decent, and hopefully it was just a warm-up, and they have a even better match next week on Raw. And I don't understand how Roman can win this match, and if he's not going to win the title. If Lesnar's retaining, let Bobby Lashley take the L. Because how many times are you going to have Brock beat Lesnar? Brock beat Roman. It just makes no sense.
Exactly.
Next. The goddess of the WWE Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, overcame not one, not two, but three bullies in a Extreme Rules match to retain her championship, proving once again why she is the queen, the goddess, and the ruler of the women's division in WWE. Ronda Rousey had no business being in the arena. She was still suspended. Even though they said, oh, she's suspended from Raw, not Extreme Rules, whatever. She was suspended. And she was there as a paying customer, so she should have never got involved. And, of course, Natty's there. Sure, since when is Natty in Nia Jax's corner? No. She's there to help her friend Ronda Rousey. Okay? And in Extreme Rules match, this match favored Nia Jax, but Alexa Bliss, being the great performer that she is, overcame all that adversity and all those bullies to be the champion still.
Seriously, they all need to pick on somebody their own size, okay? She's so tiny. It's not even fair.
she's bigger with the title around her waist. She's the same height when she has title. That's why it took 800 of them to try to, you know, get her. But she's so small, she just wiggled away and then wound up keeping the title. The story is, of course, Bliss and Rousey getting together. I guess now they've set it for SummerSlam. But yeah, I didn't understand Natty's being there at first, but of course, Ronda being that WWE superstar, I bought a ticket to be here type deal. It was ridiculous, but it was predictable that, you know, she would somehow get involved. It carried over into Monday. I like Bliss's champ. I do. She's a nice chicken heel, I guess you call her, or whatever. I don't want to see Rousey with the belt, but I do want to see Rousey expand her in-ring persona. She's only going to do that by practicing and being in front of this, you know, live audience, so to speak. So they paid a lot of money. They're using her a lot, as they should. And let's see what happens once we get to SummerSlam. Maybe she'll be her first match was really good, you know, with Triple H and Kurt. We were thoroughly impressed. Maybe SummerSlam will be impressed again. Maybe. Hopefully. Possibly.
I mean, Ronda's coming for that belt, y'all. That's all there is to it.
I mean, it was announced on Monday by General Manager Kurt Angle that Ronda Rousey will challenge Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam for the Raw Women's Championship. So it's happening.
It's happening. Rousey's going to get a belt, and not just for her pants.
They're not called belts, okay? Belts are what hold up your pants.
She doesn't know that.
Championships are what people in professional wrestling battle for,
okay? She doesn't know that. She's going to call it a belt. Letting you know now. Oof.
And then she's going to get yelled at.
Who's going to yell at her?
Damn it, Rhonda.
We'll see.
What the hell was that hairstyle you had out there? looked like cheese whiz on your head.
Yeah, that was... Rhonda went to the hood and got her hair done. And, yeah. She was hanging out with Shaniqua and them, and they hooked her up with the cornrows, the fresh cornrows from the barbershop on 89th, and they shoot them up over here. From
the Dominican hair salon.
Oh, yeah. She got that big time done.
Yeah.
Her braids were so tight, my head hurt. I was like, holy hell. I didn't know that was possible. But, yeah. It was a wonderfully urban hairstyle. I appreciate the shout out, Rhonda. Appreciate it.
All right. So next day we get AJ Styles defeating Rusev to retain the WWE Championship. And now we know that AJ will be defending his championship at SummerSlam next week. Paige will be letting the world know who his new challenger is. So that'll be interesting. I like to see it be Samoa Joe. I like to see AJ versus Joe in a WWE match.
Yes. Give him another scar on his face, Joe. That's why AJ rocks the beard, okay? Because Joe split his lip like three or four, like a good inch up, like completely split it into two lips in their TNA days. And so AJ's got some nice sweet scar right there on his upper lip going towards his nose. Give him another one of those.
Why are you trying to mess up that man's face? He's some boy with the farmer strength. Ain't nobody breaking that redneck. Joe just scarring him up. That's just rude.
Well, Just
stops that.
If he fights Samoa Joe, somebody might break that redneck, okay? just ask Mr. Natty about Samoa Joe breaking necks, okay?
Oh, let's be honest. We've seen Joe and AJ in there, you know, as they've grown up in this wrestling business. But it's good to see AJ in this level. I'd love to see a healthy Joe, a dominant Joe, a scary Joe go after this version of Styles, especially for the WWE Championship. But yeah, AJ winning on Rusev Day was a little bit of a shock. Not really. It was bound to happen, but I liked leading in how Rusev was, for me, more vocal, because you barely hear him talk a whole lot other than, you know, kind of nonsense shenanigans. But he sounded kind of pissed off, like, I've been doing this for years, I'm do this, and I'm like, okay, a little heat in the promos there, Rusev, some real personality. I like that. Of course, if they want to give him a belt, you know, there is an IC title, US title. He can go stomp on some nuts or something and do that.
Yeah, that's kind of the way you do it. If you want a championship, you're going to have to put your foot to somebody's testicles. I think that's just how it has to be now.
Oh, I love it.
All right, so I'm dreading this. I'm so dreading this. Dolph Ziggler defeats Seth Rollins 5-4 in sudden death overtime after the 30-minute Ironman match for the IC Championship. Why is Dolph Ziggler main eventing a WWE pay-per-view in 2018 is beyond me.
Hey, man, the match was good. There was nothing wrong with the match. The guys went out there and busted their butt. I mean, I do think it was an odd choice to put as the main event. Apparently the live crowd thought it was an odd choice to put as the main event, as no matter how hard these guys were killing each other and themselves out there, the live crowd seemed to be more interested in the countdown clock. Yeah, I mean, I don't get that aspect of it. And I guess they wanted a match with a clean finish because you don't want to, you know, it was an odd choice for them, but I guess you don't want to have a match that goes 30 minutes and then your main event go like 12 minutes. I don't know.
The live crowd was, they were interesting. I think they had a lot of ups and downs. They had the indoor Roman and Bobby. They had that weird freaking Asuka match. They weren't getting their quote unquote money's worth. They definitely paid more than $9.99 to be in that arena. So they were a little bit unruly. The countdown clock came down. They just lost their minds. The match, again, if you watch the match, it was not a bad match. Seth and what's his face? Ziggler, they're still good. I mean, people give Dolph, you know, no credit at this point. They go, yeah, we know you're good. We don't care. And that's kind of sad because he goes out there and...
Hey, man, it's too bad he's too good, okay?
Yeah, it really is too bad he's so damn good that they're not giving the Dolph his due. But, yeah, it was a... What else are you going to have main event, really? I mean...
Yeah.
They went with what they thought would be a great match, and it was. It's just that it was a great match for the wrong crowd. That's all. You can't change crowds. And if you could, that the WWE would be happy campers. They would change out all the time.
Yeah, the match didn't do everything for me. I mean, I think you liked it, Danny. I didn't like it as much. Not compared to other Rollins' performances this year, because he's got so many great bangers.
Yeah, but it was just, I felt the match, the match is getting a lot of negativity for the wrong reasons, though. The match itself was fine. The guys went out there and they busted butt to try to put on the best match they could, and it was pretty good. It wasn't something I'm going to go back and watch a bunch of times because I loved it that much. But it's just, it's becoming one of those things where the fans just kind of decided they wanted to have fun doing something else.
They popped themselves, these fans did. And that's, it's kind of rude, but it's kind of also understandable. I mean, I say it all the time, and this was just proof positive. The WWE universe is short attention span theater. They're like children with ADHD where they just cannot pay attention to what's in front of them and they get bored rather quickly and they find something else to do. These people in this arena found something else they would rather have been doing than watching the main event of a wrestling show that they pay to be at. That is how ridiculous they are.
Yeah. If you don't like it, the show, you can leave. Especially if it's, like the last match. Like, there's not going to be more matches you're going to miss out on if you leave early.
Again, they're just people are crazy.
Let's give the show a grade. And I'll go ahead and start. I think this show was average. Nothing blew my mind away. I didn't hate a lot. If not, I didn't hate most of everything, so... I'll go with a C. Just a plain good old C for Extreme Rules.
I think we could probably do C+ for the show. I mean, I think that would be okay. Like you said, it was fine. It was an okay level of entertainment for what it was.
Yeah, I'm going to go C-. They could have done better. There were not enough. Extreme Rules used to be one of those pay-per-views like TLC where you knew you're going to see some extreme damage. You're going to see anything and everything going. And this just was more gimmick than extreme.
So it was too much gimmick and I don't have gimmick match. Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly. I mean,
that's what happens when you shoot yourself into a work and you work yourself into a shoot and shoot into a work and a shoot marks.
Yeah, darn these marks. Always working shoots.
And with that, let's go ahead and move on to something that happened before Extreme Rules. And that is that Hulk Hogan got reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame after a 3-year suspension.
The most extreme thing to happen on Sunday was finding out that he had been suspended from the Hall of Fame only to be reinstated.
Now, from what I'm hearing, this reinstatement included a mandatory meeting where Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea addressed and apologized to the WWE talent. Also, I'm hearing that his apology may have come off more like, I'm not sorry I said that, but I'm sorry I got caught.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of apology that you get when people do things like that. Yeah. I'm sorry you guys heard that. That wasn't meant for you to hear. Not, I'm sorry I said those kind of things. Like, that's always the apology whenever somebody makes a kind of inappropriate racial comment in public. It's never, I'm sorry I made that. I shouldn't have, you know, it's, I should know better, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry I got caught saying stuff like that.
Whenever someone is being racist and they apologize, it is, of course, that they said it where it could be heard and felt, that no harm was ever intended, or that's not how I am. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, you said it, own up to it. I said it, I'm sorry. And I don't know, either you move on from it or you don't. It's kind of interesting to me that WWE pulled him from the Hall of Fame, because they don't have the best track record when it comes to people of color anyway. So, you know, how dare you, you know, try to toe the line right now.
Now, here's the thing. So, shoot Hulk Hogan, be back. Now, okay, so I feel like Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan, you know, he is kind of like the person who helped put WWE professional wrestling on the map in the 80s and into the 90s. And, you know, you can't talk about pro wrestling without talking about Hulk Hogan, just like you wouldn't be able to talk about baseball without Babe Ruth, NBA without Michael Jordan, soccer without Pelé, etc., etc. You know where I'm going with this. So he does have a place in wrestling history. It's not like you can remove him from history like he didn't exist, like they've done other people. And so you have this, right? So now he did something wrong. 100% unexcusable. Look, I am a person who's been discriminated against. I am a person that, you know, has faced prejudice, you know, and racism. And I can understand how hurtful that is. And I don't condone his actions. You know, even though, you know, he is my favorite wrestler of all times and all that, I don't condone it. I believe that people deserve the chance, a second chance, to repent, to show remorse. Now, has he done it? Maybe not in the right way, but I'm hoping that with this second chance that he's getting, that, you know, he will get some help in maybe understanding, well, you're not going about it the right way, and if you want the second chance to work, these are the steps you need to take, and this is what you need to accept that you did, and own it, and grow from it, and be better, and be a better human being. If he can do that, I believe that he can be redeemed. You know, it's not like, I mean, and I'm not minimizing what he did, because what he said is wrong, and it's, you know, but he did not kill his family and then kill himself.
I mean, he didn't commit a crime. He's just a D-bag, basically. You know, like, there's a difference, you know? I mean, that's the big thing. He didn't commit an atrocious crime. He's just, you know, said some inappropriate things. So, yeah, we can let him come back, you know, because you can't really erase him from history. But that doesn't mean you have to put him in front of the camera either. because he could be bad for PR, which is their biggest concern.
Extremely big concern. No pun intended. In the day and age that we live right now, any form of racism or intolerance is at the forefront of media and social media and will not be stood for people even outside of wrestling. Inside of wrestling, again, he had to or made this apology in the locker room that is filled with superstars of color to the point where the New Day had to, because people kept asking them how they felt about Hogan. They had to release a combined statement on the matter. You've got people calling the cops on people for barbecuing, selling water, what have you. So Hogan's comments are a landmine for the WWE that they're trying to navigate through without getting blown up. They need Hulk Hogan. They need Hulk Hogan because he is a product of their creation to get wrestling into the mainstream. Like you said, you can't talk about wrestling without Hogan. To this day, people who are not fans in any way, shape, or form of wrestling and even know what he said, they know who he is. And that's the kind of notoriety just by looking at him that the WWE needs and wants, because that means for them more eyes on their product, more revenue and advertising dollars in their pockets. But with his words being as they were, with his feelings being as they were, it makes it extremely difficult. The WWE is banking that fans of wrestling will defend Hogan. They're hoping that none of their superstars say anything against this reinstatement and this reintroduction of Hogan, because it will, again, be very bad, a black eye, no pun intended, on the company to have someone who, you know, has, you know, been shown to be or have had racist tendencies. I don't dislike Hogan. I can't discredit Hogan for anything that he's done inside of a wrestling ring. It's just that when you spew hate, that hate is there no matter what. You feel it, you felt it, you were taught it, and you've taught it to generations. Your children will teach it to their children, so forth and so on. So my biggest concern is here is a person who is a legitimate icon in our business who possibly has taught now generations his hate by his word outside of a ring. And that's where it becomes a problem for me. It's a problem also because, again, like I hinted to, WWE does not have the best record of putting talent of African-American descent front and center. They are there, but they are not in a position of like a Hogan or so to speak. So that just, again, stands the same line that, you know, hey, you're good for this. You're good for throwing pancakes around, but I'm never going to make you the face of my company.
Yeah. It's rich white people. And so they want to support other rich white people. I mean, that's the big thing. Yeah. He's, you know, that's the biggest thing you said, like they can throw pancakes around, but you know, Big E is not going to be the heavyweight champion that everybody thought he was going to be, straight right to the main roster, you know, after being NXT, was going to go right towards, you know, challenging for the belt, etc. That never happened. He didn't, didn't get anywhere and until he was shaking his ass. That's what he does.
Shake his ass, swivel his hips, throw some pancakes, and act stereotypical. That's all we're good for. But let Hogan come back and say whatever he wants, and you know, we're good with that. Put him back in the Hall of Fame or put him back on TV, give him, like, you know, hey, whatever.
Let's see what happens. Like I said, they need to really sit down with him and explain to him, now that the fact is wrong that you got caught, and he needs to understand the severity of what he did. and you know that he can maybe be more sincere about his apologies in the future. Racism, prejudice, I do believe that there is some of that, at least prejudice, in everybody. And it's just, you just got to understand that that is wrong and not do it. And see everybody as equals and treat everybody as an equal and treat people as human beings and, you know, for as we all are and be good to one another. I think that, you know, he did something wrong and he paid for it and he may still be paying for it. But if he can own up to it and change and be better for real, not just to get his a job back, then I think that that will help. But if he's getting this second chance, you know, because I think the main reason is because he is Hulk Hogan. And because you can't just erase him from history. And let's hope that this is, it makes him a better person overall. All right, so moving on. The Mae Young Classic is happening August 8th, August 9th is when it is getting taped. And so far, here are the contestants we have. Deonna Purrazzo, Io Shirai, Jesse Elabin, Ginny, Casey Catanzaro, Nicole Matthews, Reina Gonzalez, Rhea Ripley, Tainara Conti, Venice Gabriel, Tegan Knox, of course, we all know her as Nixon Newell, and returning former WWE Women's Champion, Caitlyn.
It just sounds so out of place. Caitlyn! Who? Huh?
So the first 12 of 32 contestants have been announced. Your thoughts so far on the contestants?
I mean, a couple of them were announced last week, and they've kind of been announcing a couple at a time. You know, I mean, Caitlyn does seem like an odd choice, but she's been working with different people, you know, trying to get better in ring, I guess, so she can compete against the big names of today. I don't know. I mean, she hopefully can do pretty well. I thought she was okay at the time. She did okay in the time. She wasn't as terrible as some of the other women that were wrestling when she did. But then you have a lot of huge names in there that are fantastic to hear. Io Shirai and Deonna Purrazzo, you know, I think is very, very good. They've, you know, she's been on their radar for a long time. So I think that's really good. There's going to be some good names, and this is only the beginning. You know, there's reading and seeing and hearing the different rumors. It could be amazing, really.
Yeah, the list of names, the potential names that are being thrown about is, for the most part, a awesome, awesome mix of great, great talent, that would show a whole different level of, athleticism and wrestling to a WWE audience. I'm going to continue to knock Caitlyn until I see different and better. I, you know, you bring back people like Molly Holly, people who are established wrestlers who had careers that spanned outside of the WWE or even what they did in WWE. I mean, I just, not a fan because her work was not that impressive to me. So hopefully she comes in and she kills it, because based off her previous work, I just don't understand why. What's the actual point? That is a spot that another woman who is honestly more deserving should probably have. That's my spin and take on it.
Yeah, so I definitely like the group. Of course, we saw a lot of different types of wrestlers last year in the Mae Young Classic. So variety is what we got then. I think the same thing. We got a bunch of returning. We had a few returning participants. Some new ones, of course. Purrazzo being one of the new signees in Shirai. Both of them reported to the Performance Center this week. And then you got Knox, who, you know, I think was supposed to be in it last year, but then got injured, so she had to bow out. So now, you know, she's got the new name, so she's back. And I think that she'll definitely make an impact. So I'm looking forward to see who the next 20 names are. I'm excited.
Nicole Matthews was an alternate last year. She was an alternate that was not used. So, and here she's one of the first ones announced, you know, in that first few grouping. So that's, I mean, that's a big thing for her too. I mean, she'll get to show, you know, that she deserved to be in that first group, and she'll get to show what she can do. But my biggest thing is I'm still wondering if they're going to have a Canadian representative last year. I think it was really strange that of all the countries represented in the Mae Young Classic last year, they didn't have a single wrestler representing Canada. Despite having Canadian-born wrestlers, you know, it's just that one of them, you know, who is actually born, was actually born in Canada, decided to represent Disneyland for the Mae Young Classic rather than her home country.
Gotta love WWE. They rewrite history and herstory. You're from where we say, not where you are from, actually. It might be change of birth certificates. I mean, we might want to check into that. They honestly,
hey man, where's the birth certificate? Okay? Mm-hmm. That's all I gotta say. No, but like for real, I'm actually curious to see if they, you know, say Nicole Matthews from Canada, or they don't do the representing countries thing this year. That's not gonna be a big deal to them.
I mean, I don't see how they cannot acknowledge her. I mean, she's Canadian, so that, yeah, I don't see them doing anything to not acknowledge her as Canadian. I mean, no, I think that they will have acknowledge her being from Canada.
We don't see why not. We'll just have to wait and see if they do.
We just don't get to see the reason why, though.
Well, I guess we will find out whenever this airs, I believe, either late August or early September. I can't remember exactly when it's airing. But can't wait. There's still 20 more names to be announced. Looking forward to that. Moving on, a couple of changes in with women, and this could have an effect with the Mae Young Classic. Sienna, Allison Kay is no longer part of the Impact Wrestling roster.
Yeah, I saw that just announced just earlier today, which is really interesting. Of course, you know, people want, you know, would have loved to have her in it last year. And, you know, she's kind of this cult favorite that, you know, that a lot of people have. And so now that she's free of Impact, let the speculation begin. But, you know, that may not be in the cards for her. I don't know. We'll see. Hope, you know, hopefully she can get the opportunity and maybe she gets signed. Maybe she doesn't.
I, as much as I'd love to see her in the Classic, I'd love to see her just in a WWE ring. If she bypasses the Classic, hits NXT, takes over, and goes and just kicks ass. That's not a bad thing on any way, shape or form. So.
Yeah, and we also have to remember that, you know, she was injured at the beginning of the year. She had some health concerns. So are those good now? Is she cleared? That's a big question, whether or not she is ready for competition. She may have been. I haven't paid attention with her wrestling career this year. So hopefully she is. Everything's good. I think she'd be a great addition to the Mae Young Classic or the WWE. But we know how they. I mean, come on. If they're making Ricochet go through NXT, yeah, you can slide her in for a few months there and let her do some work on NXT and get people acquainted with the WWE fans. But yeah, so that's that. And then now we talked a while back about Shine Champion Lufisto having to vacate her championship because she was going to have an operation. And we weren't sure how they were going to determine the new champion. And so now it's been announced that this week, this Friday, there's going to be a one-night tournament to determine the new Shine champion.
I mean, that's, you know, we kind of talked and speculated, you know, some about, well, are they just going to do like a multi-person match or a rumble or something? But a one-night tournament, I guess, is the thing.
One tournament, I mean, just to get the unanswered question answered, to see, you know, who is the top of the food chain there. They probably should have done it sooner, but what can we do but wait and see who wins? Who wins it all?
Yeah, I think that one thing that we kind of talked about offline was that, you know, she could have kept the title if they weren't going to crown a new champion at Shine 52. So she could have the record for the longest reigning WWN champion. But, of course, that did not happen.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the that's in her big, you know, talk about why she decided to relinquish the title when she did. Was because she felt that she wanted it defended at the anniversary show. It should be defended at the anniversary show. She gave up the title, and it wasn't defended at the anniversary show. It's strange how things work out. But that's the wrestling world.
That's how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see who, you know, what kind of names can come in and what who walks away with the Shine champion. And then, you know, hopefully Lufisto's back rolling into action. She's already trying to take bookings for, you know, setting up when she does return in a few months, hoping for her typical fast rehabilitation. So I would assume that she's, you know, would be pretty much granted a championship match once she returns.
Fingers crossed.
And with that, that is going to be your show for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed it. And subscribe to the FOW Radio Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, Google Play. Follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. In Danger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowBenPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.